desire and interest in your prayers. There is nothing, well, I won't say nothing more beautiful, but I'll get in trouble with that. But it is a beautiful sight to look on a well-cared farm. I have been in lots of different countries. I always admire when I see a expansive field with crops that have been planted, and I think about those in Malawi. There's a lot of tea plantations. And to look over these tea plantations, they're beautiful. It's something to behold. I've seen a lot of maize fields, and you know, I've seen a lot of diversity in maize fields. I've seen some that when I see these big fields, and even if you drive through Nebraska and some in Kansas, and I'm sure there's some in Missouri, but we're not as smooth here. But to look over a large cornfield and see all the stalk, to see all of them, that they're all level, straight rows, evenly spaced, it's beautiful. It's something to look at. And I've also seen a lot of maize fields or cornfields, as we would term it here, that are in disarray. Seeing it that the rows aren't straight. The rows literally are just, they're curvy and they're not straight. And you look at the field and some of the stalks are about like this and some are like this. And they're not, which let me know that the seeds were not planted evenly. And many times they were not planted at the right time. Do you know you plant corn or maize according to the moon? And when you plant it properly, it really changes the harvest, the amount of daylight that it gets. And in all of those things, there's things that go into that on timing and how it's done. But it's beautiful to look on a well-tended farm. Going down into Mexico, I remember seeing some German farms, some of these old Germans that had their farms, and everything was in place, and it was meticulous. And there's just something about that. When you see it, you just want to keep looking, because there's something that draws about that. But do you realize that those farms and those fields that look like that, it didn't happen by chance? It was not happenstance. And the same thing could be said about gardens. There's a big difference in looking at an untended garden and looking at a garden that has been cared for. There's a big difference. And I've shared a little bit years ago, but I want to share just a little bit. I took a farmer's training course in Malawi, and that doesn't make me an expert by any means, because I've never had a farm. So those of you that get in there, you know a lot more about it, but I know certain techniques that I learned at least. And in Malawi, the point of this farmer's training was to help the subsistence farmer. It wasn't for those that have tractors and those that have all the equipment. It was for those that till the farm by hand and teaching proper methods for doing that. And there were four criteria or standards that they taught in this farmer's training course. And I think it was noteworthy that they didn't start by just telling us what time you're supposed to plant the seed and how far apart it's supposed to be planted. They start with talking about character. Because do you realize that when you see a farm that is orderly, that tells me something about the farmer? When you see rows that are straight, even in Malawi or Kenya or Tanzania, when I see a subsistence farmer and I see straight rows on his garden plot, it tells me something about that man. It tells me something when I see that the maize is all growing and it's all even. It tells me something about the farmer. So what they have learned, those that are teaching these courses in Malawi, they have learned that it's not enough just to tell someone how to plant. You need to deal with the character of the farmer. You need to deal with to teach them some things. So there were four things that they taught, four foundations that they taught us. Number one was be on time. You know, a farmer that is not on time with his planting is not going to have as good of a harvest. You have to be on time. You have to have the soil prepared and ready and plant at the right time. But if you're busy doing other things or get a little bit lazy, if you're a little bit 1 week too late, will make a difference in your harvest. So be on time. And so it wasn't just about being on time with the planting. It was dealing with the character of people. Be on time. Another foundation was, do everything at a high standard. Don't be lax in what you do. Everything that you have to do, do it well. Do it at a high standard. The third one was, do things without wastage. Don't waste anything. It hurts me. And you may say, well, why? When I see someone burning their land. Now, I know those that have tractors, that you do it your way. But when I'm out in Africa and I see the subsistence farmer burning their land, there's something in me that says you are burning up so much nutrition that your soil needs. If they would take all of that and they could make compost out of it, they could compost that and make fertilizer, and they could put some of that stuff that they're burning back over the land to preserve the soil and to prevent the sun from burning, and also to retain water for water retention. See, so they taught us everything that is there. You can use everything. Don't waste anything. In other words, use everything at your disposal. There's a spiritual lesson. This wasn't just a farmer's course this morning, all right? So you just wait a little bit. And then the fourth one was, do everything with joy. Do everything with joy. Everything that you do in your planting, in your harvesting, in life, do it with joy. And those four foundations, for people that followed them, there were some that would get 3 to 10 times the harvest of what they would. Because see, the reality is this, here in the United States, and now I'm getting on the farming part, but the production per acre has gone up more than 4 to 10 fold in the United States over the last 50 years. In Africa, it has not increased at all. They're actually getting less harvest now in many countries in Africa per acre than they did 50 years ago. Whereas in Europe and the U.S. And so our instructor was giving us these statistics and saying, why is this so? What do we need to change? And these were the four foundations they built upon. Well, I'd like, with that in mind, if you will turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 24 in the 30th verse. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And then I saw, and I considered it well. I looked upon it, and I received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You know, one of the reasons this was such a sad picture is because when he looked on, he saw a field that was, the wall was broken down. There were thorns and nettles that were growing up in this field. But you know what? He saw something that it wasn't always that way. See, when he looked on that field, that wall used to be where it should have been. That wall used to be well cared for. Do you see, a wall keeps out the animals. And you see, it's really important to have a wall around your field, especially in certain areas, because there will be animals that will come in and eat what you're trying to grow. And so it wasn't just that this was an uncared for field. It was that used to be a field that was cared for. And there was spiritual instruction that he took from that. How did it happen? How was there one time a field that was productive, bringing forth fruit, well cared for, well tended, one that people would walk by and look and say, wow, look how beautiful that field is. And yet Solomon was like, I looked at this and I took some instruction. And I thought about this and I considered it. He said a little sleep, He said, I went by the field with a slothful. He said, a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands. Do you know that poverty does not come overnight usually? That field that was one time a beautiful farm, a beautiful field, it didn't happen overnight that all of a sudden it was in disarray. Now, this last portion, and I have kind of misunderstood it sometimes. It said, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. It's easy to think, well, that's just kind of one, if you're gone, your field's going to get, and you're not going to be tending it. That's actually not what that means. As one that traveleth, it's step by step to get to your destination. If you plan to go somewhere, you're not there overnight, right? Or in a minute, it's step by step, mile by mile. And he said, that's how poverty comes. It doesn't usually happen overnight. You see, you may splurge on lunch after service today. You might go spend, and you may go somewhere and spend a little more than you normally do. That's an incident. But if you start getting in a habit of that, you know what's going to happen if you're not bringing in enough money? Your poverty's going to come. Poverty does not come overnight. It comes by forming bad habits. That's how poverty came. It comes one step. Do you know our spiritual poverty comes the same way this morning? We can be, maybe one time we took time to tend our spiritual field. We were interested in bearing fruit for the Lord, and we were productive in the things of God. And then the wall gets broken down. How does a wall get broken down? Do you know that it takes maintenance to keep up a good farm? To keep a field, it takes maintenance. It takes care, and it takes care in our lives spiritually because we all have struggles. So if I have a wall around my field, there's going to be times that maybe one part of it falls down. That's why people ride the fence, isn't it? I don't know, they used to, they did it on horses, I guess four-wheelers today. But they walk along the fence line. They go along the fence line to be sure that the fence is still up. How long has it been since you've gone along the fence line spiritually? Do you know sometimes the fence gets broken? And that's part of life, but it depends on what you do with it is going to determine the outcome of your spiritual field. When the wall gets broken down, you say, well, it kind of got broken down here, then it's time to go out and fix it before something happens. And as I was considering this, I thought about in my own life. There have been times like, you know what, the wall maybe, it got there, a stone fell off. Maybe the wire there got broken. See, that's in a dangerous place. That's a dangerous place. But what do? I need to fix it. And that's the mercy of the Lord when we recognize that, you know what, the wall's not as strong as it used to be. Let's fortify the wall. I want to encourage us to fortify the spiritual walls this morning. You see, especially again in some of the places, I know it's here in the U.S. as well, but especially in Africa, there's a lot of animals that are let just go freely. So there'll be cows and there'll be sheep and goats and all kinds of animals. And you'll see young boys that are out herding those. And they get in people's fields all the time. And if you don't have a fence, if you don't have a wall up, these animals can destroy your field. They'll eat your harvest. You know, spiritually, it's the same way this morning. We have an enemy. There is an enemy that is out trying to damage the good fruit that is in our life. And we need to look on. This is where Solomon also said in Song of Solomon 2:15. He said, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Be careful of the little things in your life. You say, well, it doesn't matter. How does poverty come? From allowing little things to start creeping in. A little bit of unforgiveness. A little bit of bitterness. A little bit of lust. A little bit of not being guarded, not as careful on issues of faith. Just maybe not quite as putting as much trust as I should in the Lord. And little by little, that wall gets broken down and the enemy comes in. And pretty soon someone comes by and says, what happened? What happened to them? I remember how they used to be. What happened? Didn't happen overnight. You know, I've seen many souls lose out with God, and it didn't happen overnight. It happened because they didn't tend their field. And I want to encourage us this morning to tend our field. Take time to walk your fence line spiritually. Keep your guard up. Be sure the wall is up. The things you say, but that's not sin. But are you protecting the good things in your life? Are you protecting it? Are you being careful? Standards in your life, the guidelines that used to govern your life, are they still governing your life today? The things that used to, you said, I'm not going to do that because I know it's not good for me spiritually. What about today? Are you still being careful with those things? Or has the wall gotten broken down a little bit? Do you realize one of the keys here as well is that inactivity or slothfulness, we can sit and do nothing and our field is going to get in a disarray. You know, it takes work to have a good field. It takes work. It takes time. And we can either get lazy spiritually, or if we don't like the word lazy, we can get occupied with other things. Well, I've been going to the market, and I've been going doing business over here, and I've been working on this over here. Well, maybe we have, but what about our field? You see, Jesus warned us about this, did he not? When he told the parable of the sower, he said the sower went out to the field, and he went out and he sowed the seed. And as you remember, some fell by the wayside, some fell on stony ground, some fell among thorns, and some fell on good ground. But I want us to keep in mind, those that fell on thorns, they grew. There was fruit. There was spiritual, there were good things spiritually happening. And yet, the thorns were not weeded out. They weren't weeded out. You know, let me give you another illustration. I've shared this before, so if you've heard it, just maybe you'll remember it. But I remember preaching a message on this in Ghana, and everybody afterward, let me tell you first what it was. So we also learned, when you're weeding, you know how most people weed their gardens? They go with their hoe, and they weed, and then they step forward and weed, and keep going and weed. And if you're not picking up those weeds, see, those weeds have nutrients too. But they step, as they move forward, they step back on the weeds that they just pulled up, and they're pushing those seeds right back in the ground. So we were taught that when you weed your garden, you move backwards. You weed like this and go backwards, and then the sun will dry that. So you're not pressing those weed seeds back in. Do you understand that concept? Make sense? So I was sharing this and gone, and they said, oh, everybody's going to know who goes to the Church of God because they'll be the ones that are weeding backwards. But there's a spiritual point in this. Sometimes we see things in our life that need to be weeded out. It's like, I need to work on that. I need to spend some time and take care of it. But we don't remove it or leave it for the sun to dry it out. And we just step right back on that thing, and it goes right back down in our life, and it's multiplied. We need to eradicate some things out of our fields. But sometimes we look at it, we recognize there's a problem, and we pluck it out, and then we step on it, and it goes right back down into our soil. How's your field this morning? We need to tend the field, saints. I want us to get to heaven. But if a little bit of slumber, a little bit of sleep. So then he talked about those thorns. Those thorns that grew up, they choked out the good seed, right? The good plants, it choked them out. Do you know that one of the problems with weeds and thorns in a field is it's literally stealing the nutrients that your maize or your corn needs. It's taking all that good, those good nutrients to make it grow. So if you remove those thorns and those weeds, those good nutrients can go to the plants that you're wanting to prosper. So what are we allowing to be fed in our lives this morning? See, Jesus said that those thorns that choked out the good seed, he said those are the cares of life. And do you remember who Jesus taught us would be that would be a temptation to? Was it just people of the world? He said it would be a temptation to all them, a snare to all them that are on the face of the earth. So I'm part of everyone that's on the face of the earth, and you are too. The cares of life have a way of choking out the good things of God. And we say, but it's in my life, it's growing. But see, poverty comes through time. And I'm spending so much time, even in good things. I've got my business. I've got my family. I've got my hobbies. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But when it starts choking me out spiritually, that I'm not spending the time with God, I'm not spending the time in worship, I'm not spending the time actually looking in my light and working that I might, as we sang, to be more like Jesus. But I'm just busy with other things. Jesus said it would choke out. I wonder if there's any weeds in our lives or any thorns in our lives this morning that we need to get the hoe out, dig them up. You know, we even had some grass recently that I had to get out. It was ornamental grass. And we talked about removing it because it got so big. Do you know it wasn't just an issue of going and pulling out? I started digging and got a, not a hoe, but a spade and got in there and digging. And there were root balls like this with that ornamental grass. I mean, I tried to burn it. I tried, and finally it was like, it didn't work. I'm going to have to dig it up. This is what happens with things in our life. They get established. And it gets really hard to get rid of it. We can cut it down so it's not prominent. And we say, we're okay now, it's under control. I even put kerosene and gas on it and lit it on fire. And all it did really was burn my yard where it wasn't supposed to have burned. But do you realize that that grass still grew until I got to the root of the problem? Same thing happens spiritually. We can cut things down and we can do some trimming, but we need to go to the root. I think there's too many children of God this morning that good things of God are getting choked out by lawful things, by the cares of life. So this is why David, in Proverbs there, or Solomon, he said, keep thy heart with all what? With all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. In other words, it was just another way of saying tend the field. Keep your heart with all diligence. Be careful. Don't get slack. A little sleep. Little just ignoring the problem. And so then there's a consequence to that. And that was poverty. No harvest. Loss of peace. Loss of righteousness. The joy of the Lord just isn't there anymore. Not prospering spiritually like I one time did. And I ask you this morning is, who is this, who can this happen to? Who? It's all of us. It's happened to many a minister and preacher. I went through again thinking about all the ministers that were one time my friends that I worked with in the gospel that are not here today. And I've had to ask myself what happened. I've been doing some reflecting on that with some things I'm struggling with and have struggled with. I thought, what happened? And I think I understand it better now. It can happen to all of us. We have to tend the field. It takes time. It takes energy. We need to examine. We need to go out and look and see what is the condition of our field. How is the wall? What's growing in our field? I go out and put fertilizer. I say, oh, I'm doing a good job. I'm fertilizing. Are you fertilizing weeds and thorns also? Or have you gotten rid of that and then you're fertilizing the good things? Identify the spiritual weeds in your life this morning. Guard the walls. And if we will do that, do you know, the Lord will bless us. We can grow. We can prosper spiritually. And we'll have a good harvest. I want a good harvest this morning. There's so much more that could be said. But I believe the Lord's done. Actually, He's just wanting to start. But the rest of the work is going to be on you and me individually. He wants us to have a good harvest. And I've seen many a subsistence farmer that could triple their harvest if they would follow the instruction that I gave them. But most people I found, and this is what our instructor told us, they don't want to change. And that's why in his teaching, he dealt with character. There was a man in Kenya that took my advice, and you know his harvest year after year is so much better. He started doing what I told him to do with their finances, and he's doing so much better. He's got support to support himself in the work of God because he took some counsel, and he changed what he normally did. And one of the problems, I said I was done, one of the problems was people say, but this is the way we've always done it. It's one of the things that they fight against in Africa, in agriculture, is this is how our grandparents, this is how they've done for 100 years. Well, look at what's happened in your harvest. And change is really hard. It's hard among us as well. Church of God people, people that love God, change is hard. But if we want to prosper, we need to look at our life and say, what do I need to change? Amen.